I see people, obviously we deal with a lot of really cool tools and technology. They're coming out all the time and it's just so abundant that like, it's very easy to try to start using tools before it's really necessary. And it's very easy to see what someone else is doing and kind of try to recreate it for ourselves. And I believe that the best automation always starts manually. And so if you haven't sold manually, if you haven't done the thing manually, we're making up these use cases that we're trying to automate that might not even need to be automated and or maybe shouldn't be automated.
This is season two of the Double Your Freelancing podcast. And in this season, we're talking about creative ways that you can automate both for yourselves and your clients. So this episode is legitimately going to blow your mind. I sat down with Greg Hickman of System.ly, and I got him to unpack everything that he's doing to run cold Facebook ads at people who don't know him and don't know his business, and how he converts these people into on-demand webinar attendees. And then we even get into, you know, get this, how he gets people who register and watch his webinars to apply to work with him, not to fill out a contact form, but to fill out an application form to become his client. And then for those who don't apply after his webinar, he has an automated system that he's built that nurtures and educates them over time. And ultimately, this leads a good percentage of those people to come back and apply again in the future. This strategy has booked Greg and his team solid. And you're going to learn exactly how you can do the same in this episode. This season is sponsored by Drip. With Drip, you can capture leads from your own ad campaigns and then set up a similar system to the one Greg is about to unveil to you. These systems, once set up, can generate high-quality leads and client applications for you and entirely on autopilot. I use Drip to power my own consulting business, and you can too. So head over to doubleyourfreelancing.com/drip to get set up with an account. And best of all, it's free for your first 100 leads.
I'd like to welcome to the show my good friend, Greg Hickman. Greg comes to us from Systemly, which helps clients with setting up pretty advanced automation, I think primarily through Infusionsoft, right?
And ActiveCampaign now.
ActiveCampaign, cool. Awesome. So Greg's one of these guys who I don't remember when exactly we met. I know we met in person, I think. Was it for the first time at MicroConf or was it in Denver?
First time in person was at actually the first Converted, I believe.
That's right. It was the first year of Converted. Yes, we sat at a table. Yep. Yeah. Okay. I remember. Cool. But we've known each other for a while. And you're kind of the guy who helps a lot of the big, I would say, influencers get their automation in order. So obviously you and your team do an amazing job with that. But why we wanted to bring you on was specifically to learn more about how Systemly automates your own internal stuff. So whether it be onboarding new clients or qualifying new clients or whatever, or new leads or whatever else. I just wanted to bring you on, hear as much as I can about kind of your setup and your stack, and then we can just dig into the particulars as we go. So Greg, tell me a bit about kind of Systemly, why you started it, when you started it, and how it's come to be.
Yeah. So it basically was started as an experiment a while back, had a podcast called Zero to Scale with a buddy, Justin, and I was doing something completely different, hit a wall, couldn't move forward. I was using Infusionsoft at the time, and he challenged me to see about kind of exploring if there was an opportunity to monetize helping people with Infusionsoft. Lo and behold, that actually ended up turning into Systemly. And yeah, like you said, like we were behind the scenes of a lot of influencers, course creators, you know, that were just needed help with automating. And what was interesting is like, I thought we were going to be building just funnels, but it ended up being like the front end marketing and a lot of like, how do you use automation on the back end to streamline fulfillment, operations, things like that, which we actually fell in love with. And as we started doing that, because we saw the opportunity to leverage automation from like throughout the entire client journey, all the way through fulfillment, I personally started working more with like service-based businesses, and kind of now our business focuses primarily on service-based businesses, helping them productize and use automation to streamline both their lead acquisition and also new client onboarding and like that sales experience. Cause you know, a lot of us are selling over the phone as consultants, and or service providers. So now we just build out systems for service-based businesses, building sales teams, and or if you're the only salesperson, how do you streamline that for yourself so you can grow your business?
Okay. So you don't do as much anymore, at least with helping people say build funnels that lead to a $500 online course. So you're primarily helping with people doing like lead generation where they put them in a CRM and then they talk to them on the phone and so on.
Yeah. And I mean, like you said, that's how we got started. And really 2017 for us was phasing out of a lot of the one-on-one relationships we had with those sorts of people and moving into building out these systems for service-based businesses.
Okay. Well, that's, I mean, the good thing is basically everyone listening to this is running a service-based business. So I don't know how much you want to go into the secret sauce of some of the stuff you do, but I'd love to hear just because it sounds like you've probably had more exposure to this in terms of all the different use cases that people have for, you know, lead generation, lead nurturing, all that sort of stuff. And you probably have a lot of data that you're sitting on that is probably, at least to me, very interesting to hear. What are some of the things that so when you engage with, say, a small agency who say they're a digital marketing agency and they want help with automating, you know, the entire lead life cycle and then maybe everything else, what do you typically start with? Like, when is typically a good time for a business? I mean, does it make sense for a solo business, a business of one, to do some of this? Or does it make sense to wait till you get to a certain threshold and then start to, like, what do you typically advise people to do?
Yeah, great question. So I do think it's beneficial for people that are solo, but I think there is kind of, for me at least, a line in the sand as to when you should be leveraging certain types of systems. What I mean by that is like, kind of, I see people, obviously we deal with a lot of really cool tools and technology. They're coming out all the time and it's just so abundant that like, it's very easy to try to start using tools before it's really necessary. And it's very easy to see what someone else is doing and kind of try to recreate it for ourselves. And I believe that the best automation always starts manually. And so if you haven't sold manually, if you haven't done the thing manually, we're making up these use cases that we're trying to automate that might not even need to be automated and or maybe shouldn't be automated. So if there's a solo person and they've demonstrated their expertise, they've generated sales by whatever means necessary, and they have some sort of process, maybe it's not organized, maybe it's not documented, but like when we can talk to them about it, they can like say, oh yeah, first I do this, then I do that, then I do this. It's like, okay, cool. That's when we can start kind of architecting the system and where automation can help us, even as a solo person. But like, if you're just getting started, all I want you to do is sell. Like that's your only mission, is just sell people at all costs, sell people. Like that's the only thing you should be focused on. And so I think, you know, we get a lot of people that come to us and they're like, you know, I'm starting this agency and like, they're kind of pivoting out of something else. They haven't sold anybody. They haven't validated their offer. They haven't gotten anyone results on the thing that they want to be doing. So if you've been delivering results, you've been able to sell your service, even if it's just you, you can start leveraging systems like automation and things like that to make your life a whole lot easier. Because outside of the best automation starts manually, I think the best first hire is automation because it can duplicate so much of what you were already doing in the first place. So yeah, I mean, I think there is kind of that distinction of like, have you actually sold this thing and have you actually helped people do the thing that you're saying you want to do? If so, and you've done it a couple times, it's probably a good time to get started.
So it's not about headcount. It's more about just experience you have with actually selling. So if you're immature when it comes to, not in a bad way, but immature when it comes to selling your service and you haven't done it much. It sounds like it's like what I like to say, where I look at automation as the codification of something that you've already done a lot manually. So it's not it's not inventing something as much as it is, in a way, curating past work history and putting it into something more evergreen.
Yeah, Chris L. Davis, who's now the head of education at ActiveCampaign, former head of automation at LeadPages, he always, like, when he defines marketing automation, he always says it's using technology to enable and enhance your sales and marketing strategy, right? And so if you're typically, when you're just getting started, you have no strategy, you have no sales process, you have no marketing process. So like leveraging technology to automate those things is a little bit more difficult, and you're kind of taking a stab at the dark. And I think you're actually at that early stage wasting precious time. But again, like, I mean, our team is still me and two other people. One's full-time and one's like 30, 35 hours. So basically full-time. And the systems do heavy, like really heavy lifting for us. So I do think it's beneficial very early on to get started with this stuff, assuming you have some sort of process, even if it's unorganized.
Okay. So what are the things that you would start with? So say I'm a typical, I mean, is there a golden path that many of your clients go down in terms of kind of the standard things they set up automations for, or is it pretty much a mixed bag?
Yeah, great question. And I'll go into kind of like, we basically set up almost the same system for all of our clients as a foundation. There's obviously some little variances, which we can talk about, but quickly, like, a lot of the people that come to us that are agencies or freelancers, in more cases than not, I'm guessing your audience might be an outlier here, but most of them aren't already productized. Like, they're generalists. They do a lot of different things.
I'm a web designer. I'm a coder.
Like, I'm a web designer for pretty much anybody that needs a website. And then my client asked me to do SEO. So I also do SEO. And now I'm doing their Facebook ads too. So what I've found for the most part, when it comes to client-based businesses, service-based businesses, whatever you want to call them, we all love this notion of systemizing. And what we do is we start systemizing the back of the house first. And when you're an agency where you have multiple service offerings, this gets really messy. And I'm speaking from experience. We literally had hundreds of documented SOPs on everything that we did. We were like super stoked because we're like, we're productizing. We got this documentation. But the problem was, the front end offer was always so custom that we started from scratch that we never did the same thing frequently enough to really use the SOPs frequently enough to benefit from having them documented in the first place. Right. So we always start with, what the heck are you selling? Who are you working with? And it is the offer. As much as like I really tried to avoid that, it's just, it's always the starting point. So how do we take what you do, extract the expertise, because you're not, probably not an expert at all of the things. Mm-hmm. So how do we find like that unique thing that is yours? And we call it, how do you productize your IP? How do you take your process and this thing that you know how to do and make it a product, right? Because ideas are ideas, but like when you have a product, it becomes easier to sell. Sales cycles are shorter. Typically, you can stand out in the marketplace a lot more because you have a process and you have this unique thing. So I really work with people to like, what is the unique process that we can kind of extract and then productize? Because all of the systems, especially on the fulfillment side, are dependent upon what the heck we're offering, right? Like, because if you offer XYZ, you need a system to effectively deliver XYZ. It doesn't matter if you have systems for ABC. It has to start at the front of the house. So we always start offer and make sure that that's something that like can make you stand out a little bit. Because again, like selling, I build websites for pretty much any business is kind of hard. Yeah. And that leads me kind of into the next area, because like once we've helped them kind of refine their offer, like we make them go out there and validate it and sell it with a little bit of sweat, not leveraging crazy systems, but like, can you actually get conversations and sell this thing? So assuming that that's validated, we go into building an acquisition system. And the problem that I see most agencies and generalists have is because they don't have a unique thing, it's really difficult to create an acquisition system that can be automated, right? Like, how do you have even a webinar, for example, that basically promotes you as doing websites for any type of business, right? Like, that's not going to get people hooked. So, you know, when you talk to a lot of, it's like almost like the, it's like they kind of start stacking on top of each other. You find out that they have tons of different services and they're like kind of all over the place with their offering. You could literally ask those people the second you know that, you'd be like, let me guess, your entire business is based on referrals and word of mouth. And they're like, yeah. It's like, exactly. Because it's almost impossible to create an acquisition system that is effective when you're everything to everybody, right?
Yeah. And I would go, and I would say also that, I mean, I think the benefit, especially from an acquisition point of view, is, you know, my thing that if you listen to the show, you've probably heard me say this a billion times, but the thing I like about productization is it's what we typically do at the proposals phase, right? Where we take, okay, this is the client's problem. I'm a web designer. Here's how I'm going to apply web design to the problem and fix it. Mm-hmm. And we front load that into the marketing. So, you know, the benefit is if you're just saying, I'm a web designer, I'm doing a webinar, well, only people who think that they have a problem that can be solved via web designer actually will that appeal to, right?
Right.
I mean, it's like going to a networking event and saying, you know, advertising yourself as a designer, you're only going to stand out to anyone who actually has a design need. Now, if you can say, well, I have one friend of mine who does webinars where he cold outreaches to chiropractors and talks about getting new patients from the internet. I mean, he's a web designer, but he's focused on helping chiropractors generate more leads effectively through web design, right? So that kind of thing, I think. And I think we were both saying the exact same thing.
Yeah.
But you're right, I think, in that that's kind of the bedrock, I would say, for any attempt at doing any of this, because otherwise, what do you have to offer?
Yeah. And so one thing that I've learned over the years in building out automation for a lot of these like course creators is, I've found personally, and maybe you can talk to this too, is the lower the price point of the thing that you sell, the more ninja your funnel needs to be.
Ninja as in crazy or
ninja as in like if you're using paid traffic, for example, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Say you're using Facebook ads and you have a low ticket offer, making that profitable takes a whole lot more work.
Yes.
Than using paid traffic to sell something that's high ticket.
Yes.
And like, you got to do a lot of split testing. Any lead that comes in, you're going to have re-engagement sequences and follow, like some ninja follow-up.
If you're selling a $10 thing and you're getting people in at $2 a click. I mean, it's like, for instance, when my first kind of foray ever into, I guess it would be internet marketing, was in the mid-2000s. I was doing paid ads on Google AdWords for refinancing. Right. Mm-hmm. And the cost per click was pretty high. Even, I mean, now it's insane, but back then it was maybe $3-$4 a click. And we were selling leads to our clients at about 80 to 100 a lead. So we needed to make sure that if we were going to get, you know, for instance, say 20 clicks, and it took that many to get a conversion, well, we just spent $60 getting that traffic.
Yeah.
And our margins are pretty tight at that point. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you're like, you don't need when the value per customer, I would say, is sufficiently high that you can spend, you know, hundreds getting somebody to fill out a lead form. I mean, that makes it much, much easier.
Yeah. So there's a lot more room for forgiveness. And so I think when people get started selling a service is a lot, I feel like a lot easier, assuming you're good at the service, than like going to create a course and thinking you're going to play the volume game, because like the margins are smaller, there's less cash profit to like reinvest in the business. So like if you're good at service, like you can use systems to just get more prospects. Yeah. And that's basically what we focus on. So we really commonly do like two funnels, but we reverse implement. So as we have our clients out there, like pre-selling their thing to see if it's valid, like can validate it. we're building out an application process. So from application into a call, what's the automation that powers that? And how do you review an application to make sure that you are getting on the phone with the right person? Because you very easily can waste a lot of time getting on the phone with the wrong people. So how do you create an application that asks the right questions for you? But then also, how do you interpret that application? And then what happens between application and when they actually show up? So that's like, we build that out first. And again, version one of that manual is like woofoo form. It emails the results into your email address. You can review it. You can cancel the call or not. Like literally like get 10, 15 applications before you go starting to create any automation right there. Thankfully with our clients, we're able to like give them most of this stuff pre-built. So like they're working off something that's a little bit more sophisticated, but yeah, I mean, start off with application that brings someone to a call. So there's some reminders, there's some manual process and touch points to be like, hey, you got to go review this application and make sure it's a good fit before you, you know, end up showing up on this call. Right. So we build that out first while we're building out either a webinar. Most of our clients do go webinar. I still love webinars. Our funnel ourself is webinar into app into phone call. That's it. Like that's literally the only, we have a couple lead magnets, but those are just like from previously. Like we're going to be revamping some things, but if you know your numbers, that's the only thing you need, like to get to a seven figure run rate and just get really good at it. So how do you typically, that's what
how
we
do you
want.
Typically promote the webinars for your, what do your clients typically do to promote the webinars? Is that
a combination between paid traffic and just organic? So, I mean, a lot of our clients, when they come to us, like I'd say most of them have like a tiny list. So with the tiny list, we have a couple different strategies that we use just to get the list to the application for some quick low hanging wins, low hanging fruit. But yeah, I mean, we're trying to get them into paid traffic pretty quickly if they don't have access to some sort of audience, because there are tons of things we can be doing and should be doing from like an organic perspective. How do you show up in your own Facebook group, other Facebook groups, you know, et cetera. But those are obviously longer, usually like the long game. It's like, it's good to do because it demonstrates leadership and builds authority. But like, if you want to accelerate this thing, spending a little bit of money on paid traffic can go a long way. And to get started, like a couple wins, you know, you don't need to be spending like crazy amounts of money, right?
Let me ask you. So on the topic of money, I mean, what are you typically, so I'm just trying to think, because I've done, so I haven't actually done on Facebook ads anything targeting or promoting a webinar. I usually do promoting like some sort of lead magnet, like an email course. But what are you typically, like, I'd love to know aggregate across your clients, the webinar to application rate,
yeah,
I guess.
Totally.
And what kind, like what do you typically value a, like say, I mean, your clients typically, what do they charge? Retainer based or is it more?
It's kind of a combination. Some people have like a front end offer and then a retainer. Some people go right into retainer.
So assuming though you help them kind of work backwards, figure out, okay, if you make 20,000 a client and it takes you 50 people in a webinar to get one client, then the value, whatever that math is.
We have a whole Excel spreadsheet that we use to help them understand how much are you able and should you be willing to spend to acquire a webinar registrant, to acquire an application, to get on a call, right?
Right.
Cause like just because they apply, it doesn't mean we're getting on the phone with them. Obviously that makes the math even more difficult, but like we're looking at some specific numbers. So from ad into registration of webinar, do you want to go into these numbers right now? We can.
I'd love to. Yeah. I'd love to hear. Cool. I mean, since you've got so much data under your belt, I'd love to hear what you have to share. Yeah.
I'm going to kind of give like what I think you should be getting as like your baseline for measuring yourself. And I can talk about where we're at. So baseline, I'm looking for from my Facebook ad into a webinar registration, at least 20% of people that hit the ad register, like that click on the ad and see the landing page register. Okay. We're usually around like 40%. Then I want, of the people that register, I'm looking for at least 50 people to attend. Note, it's an evergreen webinar. It's on demand.
So you're not doing live webinars. You are doing
live webinars.
So what's the typical show up rate for somebody who does register?
So we have basically like either just depending on the month, just under or just over 50% of the people that register attend.
Okay.
because okay. we have the option for them to choose a time that starts within the next 15 minutes. So like mm-hmm. it's 11:37 right now. So if someone were landed on a registration page, it would say 8 minutes is the start time. It'd sure. be 11:45. Oh, mountain time, 11:45. So every 15 minutes there's one starting, but then there's a couple other times that you can choose from. If like in that moment, 15 minutes doesn't work, you can like choose something in the future. Mm-hmm. But on average, we're seeing like right around a 50% attend. When we do live webinars, like it's like 20.
Let me attend. Quickly do the math real right, because it's a bigger delay.
Well, and it's also like one specific time. And if they can't make that time,
that's what I mean. It's right. Exactly. So yeah, because that's interesting, because I haven't done any evergreen webinars, but the issue is we just did a live webinar and a lot of people couldn't attend and they want the replay, but I don't know what urgency there often is for what I know. Some people will say I'm taking the replay down in 2 days or something like that as a way to kind of get them to do it. But I like that. I could probably actually see us. Just a lot of thoughts in my head right now. So quickly, half the people who register end up attending. So that would mean if you're getting on the low end, 20% of people clicking on an ad registering, that means 10% of people who click on the ad actually attend the webinar. And what are you typically paying per click? What's average?
I don't even look at click.
Okay. So you just care about, okay, got it. Cool.
Yeah. So here's what, and this is what I've learned and whether it's good or bad. If I had a full-time paid traffic person, we'd probably get a little bit more granular. But again, like I'm playing within that room of forgiveness. Honestly, for the most part, I'm not even looking at how much it costs to get a webinar registrant, because I'm looking at how much does it cost for app.
Right. Okay, good.
Because like sometimes I'll have like a $25 webinar registration, but I'll have an $80 application. Mm-hmm. And like for me, if it's around that 150 mark per app, I'm okay. Like I'm okay with that.
Right. Because the value per customer, what percentage of people end up who apply, well, how many of them turn into qualified apps on average?
Yeah. So we go basically like the whole, well, I'll give the numbers for the whole funnel, like what I'm looking for, like bare minimum 20% into registration. Of those that register, 50% attend. Of those that attend, 15% apply. Of the people that I make an offer to, close 20%.
Okay.
So what percentage they apply, of them do
you typically make an offer to? Is there a standard or? Well,
so we're right now we're really strong on like the pre-qualification.
Sure.
So for the most part, I'm pretty much making an offer every call.
Okay.
Maybe every once in a while I'm not. Like I had a guy the other day that I didn't make an offer to because I'm pretty sure he was trying to like funnel hack me and like understand what I talk about on the call. Yeah. So I was like, it doesn't seem like you actually need help. So it doesn't matter what I do, but you should go check out this other resource.
Sure. Yeah.
But yeah, so at this point I'm pretty much making an offer almost every call because mm-hmm. we're doing a lot of qualification on the front end. I now have someone reviewing the apps. We created like a scoring system where we're looking at them.
So kind of like lead scoring the application.
Yeah. Like if they weren't, because the funny thing is we get a lot of people that register from mobile. It's easy, but then I don't think they're expecting to have an application. And it's like, there's a bunch of open-ended questions. And so like, they'll be super short and brief because they're on a phone.
Right.
If they're super short and brief, we reach out to them and say, hey, like we need more information before we confirm this call because we can't help you. We don't know if we can help you yet. So we get a lot of people that come back and fill out the application again. But if they don't, we just cancel the call.
Okay.
I'd say like right now we're canceling because I'm in the process of onboarding a salesperson. So like currently I'm the only salesperson. I'm taking about 12 to 15 calls a week, which is definitely exhausting. And hence why I'm hiring someone. So we're like extra critical on the apps right now, just because I literally don't have that much time. So I'd say right now we're probably canceling between like 20 to 30%.
Okay.
Either from the app or they didn't get back to us and we just canceled it because we never heard back. So where that brings us in the math, I'm horrible, but, those are kind of like the rough numbers. Like, Of the people that attend, I'm looking for 15% to apply for a call. And then of the people that apply, like of the offers that I make, I'm closing 20%.
I mean, I'm looking at, I mean, some of my own consulting I used to do where I have a road mapping product that is specifically about really digging into kind of a company's metrics for their funnel and working with them on personalization stuff. I mean, that's what I used to do before Right Message, right? Sold that for $9,000. I'm just trying to think like in terms of like, what is the money I would spend to get a qualified client, right? And I think that's an important thing to think about because, you know, for me, if you're talking $150 an application, even if only 10% of them end up becoming a client, I mean, that's, I would gladly spend $1,500 to get $9,000, right?
Totally. And that's like, that's kind of my threshold for like, if I'm starting to exceed $1,500 as a cost to acquire a client, I'm like starting to look at some things differently.
Right.
It's funny, like we really upped our traffic in November, which is probably like the worst time to up our traffic. Uh-huh. But it worked for us. But like, even like now we spend about $600 a day. Right now. And That's a combination of cold, mostly cold, but some retargeting and stuff like that. I'd say cold is probably makes up like 400, 450 of that.
Okay.
Call it 500.
Does that lookalike audience cold or just targeting interest?
Lookalike audience. At this stage, it's lookalike audience.
And are you doing, pushing them right to the webinar or are you doing like an article?
Right to webinar.
Okay. Interesting.
And then retarget if they don't register. And then if they don't apply, retarget into application. So there's layers of it for sure. But we're getting anywhere from like 50 to 60 apps a month.
So you're spending 600 times 30, whatever that is, 18,000 a month.
Yeah. Okay. Close to, yeah.
And you're getting 50... You said 50 applications a month from that?
Yeah.
Okay. And
call it 20% close.
So, okay. So then you get what, 10 customers? So you get 10 and you mentioned before that you make what, $7,500 a customer?
Well, that's the current price. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, you're getting 10 of those closed within that window. I mean, that's 75,000 revenue for 18,000 spent.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's healthy. And that's why.
And and probably you too. And this is the thing where I think we could easily get hung up. Like, I know that there's massive opportunities to improve all of that. Right. And we're doing little things here and there.
But there's not a fire under you right now. You would spend $36,000 a month to get, you know, 20 customers a month if you could, I'm sure, right now.
Yeah.
You'd keep those numbers.
Cost to acquire a client over the holidays was a little bit higher, but I'm like, It's the holidays. I know everyone's spending more to get in front of people. So like, that's just par for the course, but like, my margin's still good. I'm not going to turn it down. I'm not going to turn off my traffic.
Right.
So again, like this is where I think some people might get hung up. Like, and to be honest, this is for everyone listening. Like, here's the biggest thing that one of my mentors said to me. So I was kind of stuck. Like, I could not get past $200 a day in ad spend the way that I was optimizing my ads. And I was having this conversation and my one friend was like, dude, you got to spend more. I'm like, man, he's like, I know it's crazy. He's like, but you got to, he's like, literally, he goes, we're spending $1,500 a day or something like that. I think it's more now. He's like, the only and he like shared his revenue and we have like similar offers, similar price points. He's a little more expensive, a little more done for you though. He's like, the only difference between you and me is opportunity volume. And I have the opportunity volume because I'm spending to get it. And I'm like, so I was like, F it, I'm going to try it. And so I upped my volume or my ad spend. And like, literally, like I started seeing more applications every day. Like we average right now, like so far this, like we just launched new ads and we're seeing like 3 to 5 apps a day. We've had 4 apps already today and it's not even noon.
What are you, I mean, how are you, how much maintenance goes into managing? I mean, are a lot of these ads pretty much set it and forget it, or do you do a lot with kind of creating new creatives?
It's way more low maintenance than I thought.
Okay.
It could probably be way more high maintenance if I wanted it to be. I have a coach that I work with that kind of helps me on what to do, but I do it. We report on our numbers every single day into a spreadsheet. We look at it, analyze, measure. And I can tell you that the ad that was working that we just switched, like last weekend, we had launched in September, and it was basically the same ad that we ran all the way until now.
Nice. Wow.
And the only thing we really changed was testing a couple new audiences, increasing the budget.
And I imagine an old ad like that will have a lot of likes, a lot of comments. Do you find that helps with anything or?
Yeah. And we're seeing it more now than ever too. So the reason that we turned that ad off was we had a couple people in a short window of time. Facebook calls it negative feedback. I mean, this thing had like at least 80 comments on it. A lot of loves, people comment, conversating back and forth. There were some spam comments. Some will just joke with those people and or will delete it. But like we had a couple of people hide the ad, and there was in like within a short window, a couple people marked it as spam, which then like totally took away pretty much all of our impressions. So like we needed to do something. So we created a new ad, similar, different copy, different video. But yeah, I mean, that ad literally ran from September, maybe even late August, to be honest, to middle of January, with very little outside of commenting and increasing budget, testing a couple new audiences, like very low maintenance. And again, I spent probably from mid-July to that time in September, like testing a couple other ads before something actually worked. But like when you get one that works, and especially when your lookalike audience is continually getting refined enough, that's when things start to get interesting. And like, I like went to my coach who works with my ads, and I was like, I'm so nervous that this thing got negative feedback. Like, I'm like, so like, I don't even know how I can make an ad that's better than this. And she's like, it doesn't matter. Your audience is converting really, really well. She's like, almost whatever you create at this point, like, will at least work a little bit. So I was like, okay. So like, launch this new ad, and like literally from within 24 to 48 hours from launching the new ad, the same audience, nothing changed except the copy, the video, and we're back to like 3 to 5 apps a day. So yeah, I mean, like any service provider, again, it's me and like two other people, right? And the acquisition part is pretty much autopilot. Like ads, bringing people, they're applying. I have my assistant looking at the applications. We've refined that process to make sure. And then I'm on the sales call, and then I use Pipedrive to actually visually manage my pipeline. We still do a lot of stuff manually, but the automation does the heavy lifting of like, I don't have to do anything to get someone on the phone. Like
your calls are being booked. What do you do after?
Calendar's full.
After the, let's say they attend the webinar, do you use automation to kind of hit them up over email to kind of bring them back to apply later?
Yeah.
Or
do you? Okay. So we're currently in the process of revamping our whole funnel, so to speak. But if they register for the webinar and they attend and they don't apply, there's probably about 7 emails. So the next 7 days they're getting emailed before they go into like another sequence that's maybe like another 10 days ish, but not 10 emails before they kind of go into just like my newsletter that I email my list 3 times a week already. So, and because of the nature of what we do, almost every email has a call to action into somewhat of an application. So like, I didn't go fancy with like crazy ninja long-term nurture follow-up because my content that I send each and every week, like we have so many wins coming out of from our clients that like I'm at least sharing 1 or 2 wins a week in email from our clients. So it's like, I want people to be seeing that. So it's like, for me, like my follow-up, if they didn't apply, is get them into my newsletter because
so
I'm
hearing the testimonials that are coming out.
Like,
because
I'm emailing 3 times a week on relevant topics already, which I think goes back to, because I have one offer and I do one thing for one type of person, one type of problem, I don't need re-engagement to see if it's something that they're interested in. Then I go put them into another product segment, right? Like I don't have different things. So it's like, I'm going to be talking about the same stuff anyway. So like, it really simplifies what I have to create. And do you remember, I heard it from somebody else, but Clay Collins talked about the 5 ones.
I've heard of the 5 ones. I have no idea what it's about though.
So I heard him say this, and I heard someone else reference it early last year as we were diving into this program. And he basically said the fastest way for any company to build a $1 million company or get to a million is to focus on one problem with one market, right? With one solution, one offer.
That's right.
With one conversion method.
Uh-huh.
So one funnel.
Just really focusing, right?
I mean, one traffic source.
Yep.
For 1 year. That's the killer, the 1 year, right?
Yeah.
Like most of us would have been selling other, like I've almost launched three other things last year. It's like, let me keep focused on this funnel. Let me keep focused on selling this thing better, focused on getting these clients results. And the systems that we have to support all of that, both automated and manual, are so refined now that like literally my fulfillment duties is like 3 hours a week, my personal fulfillment duties.
I mean, that's, and that's in my mind, you don't have a lead problem because you've got that systematized. Mm-hmm. You've got everything up until you getting on effectively a sales call handled for you.
You're going to call out my problem in a second.
What's that?
So here's what's interesting. Yeah. The problem I have now is not even in fulfillment. It's in that my ads are doing well enough that if I spend more, I need to have my calendar open up at least 2.5 weeks out, which is way too long. That's why we're onboarding a salesperson. So we're bringing on a salesperson because then I can increase my ad spend, have him take 15 calls a week, have me take 8 or less, and slowly start giving that sales call stuff to the people. Because at this stage, we're getting so many leads that we need to either cancel more or just scheduled too far out.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, let me ask you this. How do people know your pricing going into the call, or is this, how much pre-call education do you do?
So outside of the webinar, there's a handful of videos that like on the thank you page of the application, there's a video that tells them how to prepare. There's another video in between that and the call. And then there's a couple emails that kind of give a couple details.
Okay.
And then there's a manual outreach from my assistant based on the application.
Okay.
So if someone comes in and like they're a service provider and like they're either newbies or we can tell that money might be a problem, we'll shoot them an email and say, hey, like based on what you said, we think we can help. Obviously in order to help it, it's an investment. This is the investment and this is the payment options. If that's something you can do, let's keep the call. Otherwise, we'd like to give you some other resources to go kind of get to the point where, you can be ready for something like this.
Yeah.
So we do share it sometimes in email, but a lot of times they don't know about it until I mention on the call.
Last thing I want to ask you before we need a break, those who do the call, but do not purchase on or right after the call, do you have a system in place that kind of continues trying to sell them, or do you just dump them on your newsletter?
So it depends. If not every call is a one call close, obviously. Sometimes there's like a second or third call. So we manage that in Pipedrive. If there's no reason to schedule a follow-up because like we can clearly tell they're not interested, I'm not in the place where like I'm a sleazy salesperson. Like I'm truly on the call to like help them make the best decision for themselves. And sometimes the best decision for them is for me to push the program. And sometimes it's not, like, cause if it's not a good fit for them for legit reasons, like I'll have them go do other stuff,
right?
Put them into our Facebook group. And then they're in our email list. We get a lot of people. If they're like ready to go, but like it's maybe not this, like they're like, yes, this is what I want, but like I'm going on vacation or like I'm doing something, we'll take a deposit and we'll schedule a start date within the next 30 to 45 days.
Okay.
Hold their spot.
Just to at least get them in the queue.
Yeah. So we do that a lot, and then that's pretty much it. And so like I have a Pipedrive, I manage my pipeline there. There's like, but if they're really not a fit, or if they're a really good fit and it's just like really bad timing and like they wouldn't be able to start for months, I literally just schedule a follow-up or like in my, Pipedrive, I just set a reminder. And when you have that amount of volume, like for example, in December, we added 9 new clients, but we took 6 deposits, and that's not counting the 9. So like the 6 deposits, 5 of which started in January and 1 starts in February. So it's like, it's not that far out. So like when you start having some of these things, it's like, oh yeah, like that person gave a deposit and like they start next month. And it's like, sweet. I already have,
you already know your next few months of
right. Yeah. I have 3 sales from my March quota.
Yeah. What, let me ask you last question. Is the only thing keeping you from scaling this just salespeople?
I think to the next stage. Yes.
Okay. So you would conceivably start dumping 1200 a day into Facebook if you had another salesperson helping you.
And they're closing. Yeah.
Right. Some of you.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. The other element that we didn't really talk about, but I think is important for like taking this to scale, right? Like, it's a 10-week program. So it's like, there is an end. We launched a 12-month program that kind of picks up where the 10-week left off that we just launched this year, that while it's still a 12-month commitment, it sort of acts as our recurring revenue because most people pay monthly.
Right.
So I think that's kind of like, outside of having another salesperson to enroll more people each month, having something on the back end that people are going into that creates a monthly recurring cadence.
And that's where you can create the serious profit, I think, right? I mean, because...
Totally.
Yeah, you're fine. I mean, I would imagine the good thing I like about your system is you're able to effectively repay the ad bill before it's due, right? So you get people on, they pay, their cost per acquisition is offset almost immediately.
Yeah.
And then even if you had crazy high commissions to your sales team and your margins were low for the upfront thing, I mean, that's super qualified lead generation for the monthly offering that you give them later. So I think it's, I mean, it's one of these things where you probably wouldn't want to, but I'm sure even if you broke even on the upfront project, it might even make sense, right?
Like, it could, yeah.
Yeah, too.
It could, especially as we get better at upgrading people from the 10-week to the 12-month, right? Like if we're confident that X percent, and we just, I mean, that's still really early for us because we literally launched it this month. So once we have some of those numbers, like I'll have... That's when like the knowing of your numbers is just so important, right? Like, because we react very emotionally, like, oh my God, I'm spending what a day on ads, or like I'm spending 20 grand a month on ads. Yeah. But when you look at the return on the ad spend, you're like, oh, like,
well, let's face it, a lot of people who dump money in, they have no idea what the valuation is of their funnel.
100%.
And they can't 100%. Even, I mean, they're just dumping money into Facebook.
Yeah. So I think like as service providers, like, I don't know what the range of where people are at in their business and like, you know, but like we're 3 people and, we had a 6-figure month in December. It was our first, we're going to have a 6-figure month this month. And it's like, I've never had more free time. I've never been more confident and happy in the fulfillment of like the work that like our clients are doing. And I feel like as much as I love tons and tons of tech and systems, once we got this thing live, like it's pretty much the, like it's one funnel. It's like, one thing to worry about. It's less stuff that breaks. And like when I get to certain other revenue thresholds, like, yeah, I'm going to have other things that I want to consider. But like, if you're kind of in that like 10 to 15K a month mark, or even like 20 to 30, and you want to get to like 60 to 70, you don't need all of these complicated things. You need something to get people on the phone, and then you need something to sell them that is offsets the cost of getting them there. So yeah, like you do. And again, if you're a service provider, please charge what you're worth. Obviously you are a huge voice in that community for that, which is so needed. Like, you have to charge what you're worth. And if you are, you can afford the cost of getting people on the phone. And then you have the ability to have a simple system that is literally filling your calendar. Get really good at that before you start going to create downsell courses and all that stuff, because it's just a distraction.
Yeah, I agree. And I think you could, the good thing about this is even if you want to get into, say, traditional turnkey products, I mean, doing this like you've done it, I mean, if you wanted to start selling a $300 course right now, I mean, tactically some things might change, but you've got a really good foundation to work off of. And
yeah,
I mean,
and what's great is I want to say two more things. One is that based on our 10-week experience, there is, there is a piece that I could extract and make it its own product. 100%. I think about it every single day. And my team tells me
sell that first and then sell the 7,500. Yep.
And my team, and you can use that as a credit into the higher one.
Yep.
It's coming. It's just like what I've found is that, and we kind of talked about this in the beginning, like sequence is so important. And like, it's very easy with the access to information that we have to solve the right problems in the wrong order. And like with the problems I have now, having a downsell, even though I can probably pull it off fairly quickly, it's still out of sequence of what I need to be focused on to get to where we want to get to. And because I know that, I'm not going off this crazy path and trying to create this thing that's going to derail what we've already got going. So like, it's going to happen. Now is just not the right time.
Right. And you've got, I mean, it's doing well enough. You're doing very well with the funnel you have now and the product you're offering right now. You've got ability to scale that without needing to introduce new products into the mix. Yeah. I mean, I think, I'm blown away. This has been, Greg, this has been an awesome, awesome discussion. Thank you for coming on. I know you shared a lot of details and numbers. If you want Done With You, set up
the exact yourself, system that we just talked about is what we
there's
help
a
you
guy
build.
And a team named Greg and Systemly who can help you with that. So, that's system.ly, right?
Yep.
Cool. Any other play? You have a webinar. I think actually the webinar that we talked about, which is /webinar, I think.
/webinar. Yeah. System.ly/webinar. And I basically break down the four things that I changed in my business to go from the one-on-one custom projects into the model that we just talked about.
Well, we might end up skewing your numbers, but hopefully there might be a few people who are listening to this who are a perfect fit for you guys. So Greg, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, man.
This wraps up today's episode from season 2 of the W Your Freelancing Podcast. And again, in this season, we are full focused on automation. So I know for a lot of, especially individual freelancers, the idea of automation just seems insane. Like, why would you do that? It's just me. It's just, you know, little old me doing client work. Why do I even need to think about automation? Well, if we've done our job right throughout this season, you've heard stories and examples and really in-depth case studies from people who are like you and using automation to power core parts of their businesses. So I would highly encourage you, if you're not doing any sort of automation yet, well, there's no better time than now. And you're going to want to go to wfreelancing.com/drip and get an account with Drip. And it's free. You know, that you can sign up right now for nothing. Now, they're going to charge you after your first 100 leads. But think about it this way. For you as a consulting business, 100 leads is a lot, right? I mean, that's a good amount of people. You're not asking them to buy a $10 ebook. You're asking them to hire you for lots of money. So, you know, if you were selling to hundreds of thousands of people a very cheap product and you hope that 0.1% of them will turn into a customer, well, that might be a little prohibitive. But if you're selling consulting, which if you're listening to this podcast, you most likely are, then 100 leads is a good amount. And then you're going to get Drip for $49 for your next 2,400 leads on top of that, which for most consulting businesses in my agency back when I had it, we never had anything close to that. So it's a very worthwhile investment, especially once you start to do things like automating the way that you qualify and schedule new clients and then onboard your, or I should say new project leads, and then onboard new clients and then maybe follow up with past clients. Drip can handle all of that. Once you get it up and running, it's just going to keep ticking and working on your behalf forever. So again, wfreelancing.com/drip, and we will see you for the next episode.